Tin Media Guide that lets you pick
and taping and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Today, America has lost over half of its wetlands, and that is a tragedy. Hello, I'm August Bush, speaking to you today from one of America's greatest treasures, the wetlands of North Dakota, home of ranchers, farmers, and every duck hunter's dream come this fall. But we're letting this and other national treasures disappear before our very eyes, ignoring the fact that wetlands are vital to all of our existence. And that's why we have joined with Ducks Unlimited, because they are vital to the reversal of this trend. So please join us as we work to protect one of North America's most important treasures, one that is so vital to the future of our agricultural community and to the welfare of our nation. Help Ducks Unlimited generate the support it needs for its Wetlands for Tomorrow campaign. Thank you very much.
Visit www.ducks.org for more details.
1-800-222-1222 If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison is the kind of thing you're not supposed to touch. Old prescriptions, cleaning stuff, or spider bites and such. If you swallowed something bad or think you took too much, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're the people you can trust.
For poison emergencies or just questions, the Poison Control Center hotline is here 24/7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. We hope you never need us, but keep our number by the phone.
1-800-222-1222. For 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
A message from your Poison Control Center.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Not bad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm almost over my five-week-old cold or flu or pneumonia or whatever.
It's melded into these days.
I don't know because I don't go to the. I haven't been to a doctor since I was 20 years old.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I just figure if I went there, they'd find something wrong with me and probably give me something that would probably kill me.
So. That's the reason I don't go. I'm after your record. You got a little bit of a jump start on me, but I'll catch up with you. I don't like the doctor either.
No, I've just heard too many horror stories too many times. And really, it's statistically, when doctors go on strike, they found out that the death rate at hospitals goes down.
Oh no!
So, I think the hospital is like the worst place you can be if you're sick.
Yikes.
Anyway, so there shouldn't be too much coughing this week, hopefully.
Well, good.
For a change. All right, let's go on to the Bears. I think it's time for predictions.
Uh-oh. That's a tough one.
I've been thinking about this, and I'm thinking, God, if I really go put my beliefs in the public sphere, I may be jinxing them. I may be jinxing the Bears. But the more I think about it, the more I think that there's certain people on the Bears that really believe that this is their year, and they're going to make it happen, such as Urlacher.
Mm-hmm.
This could just be wild-eyed optimism. I really think they're going to win.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think they're going to win pretty handily, actually.
Really?
I'm predicting 30-23.
Nice. like to hear that.
So we'll see. I just figured I just for fun, you know, I'm not going to even be betting on any of these predictions myself because I don't trust them enough. But just for the fun of it, I'm going to say 30 to 23 Bears. Would you like to put your beliefs down on?
Yeah, I wrote you down this piece of paper, 30 to 23. I wrote it right on top of my prediction.
Which is?
My prediction is 24 to 17.
24-17. Well, that's really pretty similar prediction.
Well, yeah, we got a 7-point spread either way. I just think the point totals aren't usually up for the Super Bowl. And I think that our offense isn't going to be able to score 30 points. I think our defense is going to score. If our defense scores good, we'll get over 24. But 24-17, I think that's with my heart, not with my head.
I think that's a smart prediction. I think our running game is going to really work. I think we're going to get two touchdowns from the running game. And I figure the special teams might, either special teams or some interception or fumble recovery or something like that.
Exactly.
We'll get another touchdown that way. And then a bunch of field goals.
A whole bunch of field goals.
So we'll see what happens. It should be. It's going to be fun, I think.
It's going to be a great game either way.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely great game. So no comments about the two first time there are two black head coaches going at each other. Who cares? I don't even look at those guys as black, to be honest with you. They're coaches.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
I'd like to see come a time where we don't even have to look at the color.
Yeah.
No skin anymore. All right, let's move on to stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. I was over the weekend, I had been organizing my old VCR tapes that I came across, a 1999 Illinois Libertarian Convention tape that had one of the speakers was a guy by the name of Patrick Michaels, who's a climatologist, and at the time was the climatologist for the state of Virginia, actually. And he's also a senior fellow at the Libertarian, or Libertarian Light, now I might say, Cato Institute. And he talked about global warming, if it exists, to what extent it exists, to what extent is it man-made, and what are the ramifications of it? And it was really, really an instructive, interesting speech, which I would love to see everybody who just believes the, you know, whatever the establishment press has said about global warming. I'd love to get this tape in everybody's hands, because it really puts things in perspective. And what he said, this is back in 1999, but I think it still bears truth, that, yes, there is some global warming going on. It's almost all natural. But the main thing he pointed out was, what are the effects of the greenhouse effect when you have more CO2 or water vapor in the air? What is the actual effect? And he points out how, you know, in the wintertime when it's 15 below and you got the thermostat up to 70 degrees inside, how dry your skin is, you know, how dry the absolute humidity is, mm-hmm. in the air because it's so cold outside. Compare that to, you know, the summertime, where even if the relative humidity is low, the actual humidity is high enough that you're not uncomfortable at all. And the reason he mentioned this is to point out the fact that if there is global warming happening, the main areas where it's going to really take an effect is going to be in the cold, dry climates, such as Siberia or northwestern North America, in Canada, the Yukon, and that sort of thing. Because when you're in warm climates, there's a quick satiation point of how much vapor, water vapor, or CO2 that the air will take up. Most of it, especially as water vapor, is going to be dispersed upon an area where it's cold. It can absorb a lot more humidity. And so what you really have is to the extent that global warming happens, you have a moderation of temperatures, not around the equators, not around the temperate zones, but around the very cold, severe areas, like Antarctica, Siberia, and Upper Canada. And that would be all to the good. There are so many good things that happen out of that, with, again, turning Siberia into the breadbasket of the world. The speech was just fascinating, and he did point out how the predictions of the global warming alarmists are, you know, so, the predictions were so more dire than what is really measurable today, which is maybe one-fourth of what they talked about at most. And it really, really isn't something to worry about. But reason I pointed out is for the stupid regulation of the week is that Congress is talking about if not passing the Kyoto protocols, which would impose draconian controls worldwide, but especially on the United States, as far as curbing economic activity, because of course all economic activity uses energy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Congress is talking about doing their own, passing their own laws that would create a system of carbon taxes and taxes and tax credits, which would again in the same way, well, in a different way, but very similarly, would reduce energy consumption, and I would say therefore would really slow the economy down to a dangerous pace. And we really need to think out and look beyond the dire headlines and the outright, from what I understand, Al Gore's movie is just replete with lies.
Mm.
Just get another perspective, folks. Don't believe the first thing you hear out of the global alarmist's mouth. Well, anyway, we are going to have an open line again this week, so anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. And I certainly would welcome talk on Iraq, Iran. How do we stop this war? From those who believe that we should stop the war, if you're still in the neocon camp, I'd love to hear your justification for expanding war in Iraq and what's going to happen in Iran. More and more people are saying that the Bush administration is hell bent on starting a war with Iran. What would happen? Would Congress finally just explode? This enough is enough, and would impeachment proceedings start? Because I think most congressmen would assert that the Bush administration does not have the right to just go into Iran, start a war without any authorization. Now, some of us, more strict constructionists, would assert that even what was passed by Congress that supposedly allowed Bush to go into Afghanistan and Iraq was not a declaration of war, and therefore unconstitutional. Now Bush is asserting he doesn't even need a resolution by Congress. That's not a war resolution. He doesn't need anything. His own whim, I guess, is enough, it appears. And I think, pretty darn scary. So we can talk about that. I guess we can talk about illegal immigration, too. One of these days I'm going to come up with my essay and throw it out at you folks, because I really think... I really think you're barking up the wrong tree. I think you're succumbing to all this crying and wailing about illegal immigration. I really think it's the old divide and conquer deal going on that the establishment is successfully foisting on people. That or I don't know if it's divide and conquer or if it's a shell game, whatever. You know, look at what we're happening here. Don't look over here. Look over here. We'll just talk about immigration, where the real problem is government, folks. Real problem is the welfare system that attracts the wrong people to get in this country. And also, I really think it's getting dangerous. This xenophobic attitude. That seems to be getting stronger and stronger all the time. So, you want to talk about that? Wonderful. Let's give us a call at 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. Open line. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings and thank you for your support.
And
all right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We have an open line today. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. Give us a call, 847-931-1410. And, Mike, why don't we just go right to the phones.
All right, it looks like we're going to start this morning off with Therese.
Hi, Therese.
Hi, Ken. Hello.
Hi.
Hi,
hi Therese.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am doing fine. I had a nice talk with Mike. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is there is a website called junkscience.com, and the gentleman who has this was on the radio, and he was indicating that he went to see Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And after which he said to Al, he says, why don't we get your scientists together and my scientists together and debate this? Well,
Al Gore's not interested in that.
No, because they don't want... Oh, just a minute, one moment. Excuse me, I have my sleepy voice, my throat. Not sick, thank God. Anyway, of course they wouldn't do that. So if somebody has, people have a computer, I wish they would go to junkscience.com and see what they can find.
Yeah, that's I've heard of that site. That's what I understand, a really good site. And it does, I imagine, it posts all the inaccuracies of Al Gore's film.
Oh, and I'm sure it does. It does.
It really is, it's been true, I think, throughout history, but it seems especially true today that the establishment so-called scientists, they really, they're not scientists at all.
No, they're not.
They do not want to have peer review.
Mm-mm.
In fact, the peer review they have is amongst their own little establishment clique.
Right.
They review each other. And just just pass on everything that their buddies say, but for actual real review by someone who has an alternative viewpoint, forget about it.
Oh no, well that's the way with anything, at all.
Yeah, unfortunately that's pretty true.
Well, you were talking about immigration. So what is your philosophy? Do you think that we should be paying everything?
First of all, I think that
I'm talking about illegal. I'm talking about illegal
society.
I'm sorry, what?
I think in a free society, The only controls we should have, as far as the borders are concerned, make sure we're not allowing, you know, convicted violent felons in, or maybe some, maybe someone that carrying some kind of disease that's readily transferable. Beyond that, in a free society, Teresa, you and I think we both agree there would be no welfare at all.
Well, this is true.
And if there's no welfare, if people are just coming for opportunity, it seems to me we're attracting the right kind of people. I'd like to have people emigrate into this country who believe in freedom and opportunity and liberty.
All right.
So I think the problem we have today is that all the wrong incentives are in place, and to the extent that there is a problem with illegals.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, are you talking about legal immigration or illegal? Are you for illegal immigration?
It's not that I'm for illegal immigration, Therese. I just think that we waste way too much of our time pointing fingers at the immigrants instead of pointing fingers at the government policies that bring them here. Because I think there is an element. Many people that were immigration is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. There's an element of xenophobia. A perfect example, I think, is the what took place, was it in Texas, where the pizza place, they were accepting pesos?
Yeah.
Now, again, in a free society, I think any businessman, and I wouldn't want to be told by the government I can't do this, any businessman should be able to trade in whatever manner they choose. If they want to accept rubles or francs or pounds or pesos in payment for what they give their customers, who cares? I don't understand why people care.
See, I didn't hear about that story. But what about the fact that they are bringing up diseases?
I'm sorry, that they're what?
That diseases are escalating because of some of the diseases that had been brought up here.
Mm-hmm.
Because a long time ago on Ellis Island, everybody was sprayed and tested for diseases, and if they have had a disease,
I think that would be, as long as we have a government, mm-hmm. that would be a legitimate function for immigration department to regulate.
All right, Ken, and they are sending up their criminals because we've had over 10,000 crimes committed
by
illegal immigrants.
That too, I understand and agree with that too. As long as there's a government, I think that's a proper function of government.
And what about the fact, I'm sure you would not agree with this, of that fact that the two Border Patrol people that went after the drug runner and just shot him in the bottom, and he wasn't seriously wounded. But our government paid to have him brought back from Mexico to testify against the two Border Patrol guards who did their job. And now the Border Patrol guards are going to be sentenced to 11 years and 12 years.
Well, I confess that I haven't, I really want to see the details on this one. Because first of all, in a free society, there's not going to be any drug laws. The government has created this mess with the war on drugs that creates all this violence and all the drug use, frankly. A lot of it is you can trace right to to making drugs illegal. And you can look at the pattern during alcohol prohibition, and it's true with the drugs now. But, you know, back at the turn of the century, people would have a little bit of the coca leaf in Coca-Cola, and you'd give them a little slight buzz, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And you make things illegal, and the concentration of the drug gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And the real problem there, first of all, is the fact that the drugs are made illegal by government.
Of course, you know that the government is involved in the drug running. You know that.
Well, I know they have in the past.
And
they have in the past in the connection of the Iran-Contra scandal.
That's right.
They funded the gun running with drug running.
And they were landing in Mena, Arkansas when
right.
Bill was over in...
Right. But see, this is only possible when you make something illegal and push it in the black market when it should be legal in the white market or whatever you want to call it, market.
Okay, I understand what you're saying about that.
Immigration officials were shooting somebody in the back, I don't think that's right. They're running away
from
them, running across the border. If that's what happened,
he was running back across the border, Ken. This is what he was doing, and they caught him. So he was running back across the border, and then our government paid to bring him back to testify against the two Border Patrol agents who were just doing their job. And we don't.
But he was running. He was in the United States, running across.
He was in the United States. He was bringing up the drugs, and they caught him. Okay. Then he was running back across the border. And that's when they were firing upon him, but they did not kill him. And then our government paid to bring back the criminal to testify against the two Border Patrol guards who were doing
their job. Well, again, a criminal in the sense that, yes, since the government has made what should be a legal transaction illegal, he's therefore a criminal. But I would argue that doesn't flare up any kind of outrage because the government called back a criminal to testify, because that person in a free society wouldn't be a criminal, Therese.
Yeah, but the way it happened, it wasn't right what he was doing. And in the Border Patrol, those two gentlemen who were of Mexican descent were just doing their job. They were working for our government. And did you know
that? And shooting to somebody as they're running, in the back, shooting them in the back.
Well,
because they're engaging in something that should be perfectly legal. I don't see how that's right. You know what? It's reminiscent to me, Therese.
What?
It's too much reminiscent of what used to happen in East Germany as people try to escape Germany. With shooting people across as they're trying to run away from the country across the border.
Well, yeah, and on the other hand, we have the Mexican army that's coming up, and they're harassing our troops. The National Guard that's on the border, by the way, they have their guns, but they are not allowed to have any bullets in their guns. So they are harassing our troops, and there have been incidents that they have come from the border.
For what purpose are they harassing our border patrol?
Well, just for harassment to see what they can get away with, because as you know. I don't know if you know about the superhighway and the deals that Vicente Fox and Bush and the man from Canada made with regard to eliminating the borders between the United States and Mexico and the United States and Canada. And what do you think about this?
I think it's horrendous, and it's going to take the biggest. It's going to take more eminent domain procedures
than
in the history of this country to do
that's
that.
Right.
No, I'm against. See, there's a total difference between, I think, those two incidents.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that has nothing to do with the immigration policy, really.
Okay, now, would you agree with the fact that it's all right for us to be spending our resources on them for the, such as health care and...
Well, of course not. That's what I said from the beginning.
Okay. You know, I can remember...
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a Mexican problem or an illegal immigration problem. I think it's a government policy problem. That's what I've said from the beginning.
Okay,
and to have welfare for anybody, I think, is wrong, but especially for immigrants or especially illegal immigrants, I think it's absolutely outrageous. But I'm not going to turn my ire against the illegals, I'm sorry, or the Mexicans, because to me, it sounds like to me of xenophobia.
Well, what is xenophobia?
Xenophobia is a prejudice, a propensity to hate foreigners.
Oh well, I'm not
accusing you of, but I think there are a lot of other people that are like that, and you can hear by the tone of the voice, by the epithets that they throw out. Of the type of people they're referring to.
Okay, I never hated foreigners, but the fact remains that a lot of people came here the legal way and helped build up this country. And my parents, when they were little, went to bed hungry many times because...
Yeah, there was no welfare then.
No, and there shouldn't have been because this is why they worked hard.
Well, here's where we completely agree.
Exactly. Well, when I was a little girl in the 40s, you weren't even born yet, I can remember my father being very upset about something, and he was saying that it would ruin Chicago, and then I came to find out that he was talking about that's when they were going to allow people to go into Chicago and to collect welfare and any kind of benefits, and he was right. So the same thing is with the country, when we allow people to come in here and get on welfare and all the benefits.
Well, we're attracting the wrong people when we do that.
Exactly. But
that's where I agree, but again, I think it's... I think we should, well, my point is we should focus on the policies that create the problems of illegal immigration we're talking about. I don't like focusing on the Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Or anybody else.
Well, there are a lot of other people that are coming up here illegal that are not Mexican that are causing a lot of damage too.
But again, I don't really blame them so much as I blame our policies. They're following their own self, what they perceive as their own self-interest.
Well, you know, there was somebody from the south of the border who was on the radio, and I called in and I says, well, why aren't you people going after your own government in Mexico and trying to straighten out things there? See, can you imagine if all these people would expose what's going on? Their government is more rotten than ours. And the reason I say this is because at one time I was able to spend a lot of time in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and it is a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
And while I am healthy now, I was always healthier there because we would go to the store every day and get our fresh fruits and vegetables. And they, you know, when they haven't been sprayed, and they were delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we didn't do was drink the water. They have, what they have in Mexico are the water companies. They have, you see them going around with the 5-gallon jugs of water on the truck, and then you buy those.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do regarding the water. But it's a beautiful country. And a lot of, I don't know if they're still doing this under the circumstances, but a lot of the Americans were going down there retiring because it was cheaper for them to live. And then, of course, on the other hand, people were warned not to wear any jewelry. Well, I didn't have expensive jewelry anyway. But a lot of the Americans were being robbed because they would have their houses next to a Mexican who did not have that much money. And I'm not saying that the house next to them, the people in the house next to them robbed them. But a lot of things were like that were going on. The point being is Mexico is a beautiful country. And I remember one time at one of the restaurants I was working at, one of the dishwashers, all of a sudden, he stopped washing dishes. He said, what am I doing here? I said, I miss my country. I want to go back to my country. And the next day, he was gone. And then I have worked with a lot. They are very, very hard workers. And
mm-hmm.
I have to say that they really, really are. But they miss their families, and they have told me they are here because they can't get jobs over there. But in Mexico, but all the situation has been created. In other words, the government creates a problem to supposedly come up with a solution, which is always the wrong solution. And with this health care, all these candidates, with the exception of Ron Paul, would be saying, and I haven't heard anything from him, he is going to run, isn't he?
All indications, he hasn't made an official, but he has started a committee up, and all indications are that he's going to run. I think that's a person a lot of us could really rally around. If he could actually get the Republican nomination, and I'm not holding out any real realistic hopes for that, but if he did, there would be no reason for any third-party candidate to run as far as I'm concerned.
You're right. Now let me ask you this. Our wonderful friend Hillary, it really frightens me that she got in this race because, first of all, she knows people don't like her. But she has. I'm going to call it a Marxist agenda. I always felt this way about the Clintons. In which, if Hillary would be, and I'm not going to say elected, I'm going to say manipulated into office, and by that I mean because of the voting machines.
Mm-hmm.
Because this could happen, because you know they can be set, Ken. And if she would be running, I think this is for president and not on the primary. If she would be running for president, this is the way she would get in, because she is, I call her evil. She really is.
Well, I would agree. I'm not quite sure she's going to get the Democratic nomination.
I hope you're right.
She is so pro-war.
Mm-hmm.
All she's saying is, "Oh, Bush ran it wrong." That's basically what she's saying.
Yeah, she is pro-war.
But she's big-time pro-war because she likes that power.
Exactly.
And I think there's a good chance Barack Obama, since he was against the war from the beginning, has a good, really good chance of beating her out.
He's not good either.
He's a socialist. He comes right. He's come out right off for socialist health care.
Yeah, he does.
Already. I mean, he is a socialist, no question about it. Although I fear him less than I fear Hillary.
I think he could be manipulated. I think he is a puppet because ever since he's been around, they've been marketing him like a movie star. And he is, of course, you know my philosophy. I cannot vote for any pro-abortion. I don't care who they are.
Right.
Yeah, abortionist or whatever, and this is baby killing, and
mm-hmm.
even the embryonic stem cell research is very evil. As a matter of fact, that has been tried, and they found out it doesn't work in finding any or curing any diseases. The stem cells from the blood of the umbilical cord works, and the what is it, from bones? Anyway, from adult stem cells work, and they have found cures for diseases.
Mm-hmm.
This embryonic stem cell is another.
Well, that's another topic for another time. I got some other callers. So.
Well, thanks for talking to me, Ken.
Thanks for calling, Therese.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, let's move on. We have Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Able to sit up and take nourishment.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, actually, I'm fine. All right. Long little dissertation here, or a little talk here about immigration. I think I agree with you. And, Therese, I know you're listening. All Ken's trying to get us to do is to focus on, if to borrow from the strike the root guys, striking at the root rather than flailing away at the branches.
Right.
The government policies, as you're saying, are the reasons that we're having the problems. The problem we have, though, is we're always talking about this nebulous, mysterious, invisible force called government. The government did this, the government did that, but we don't really, you know, really sit down and go, well, who is the government? What is the government? And the problem she's talking about with this Border Patrol thing, it wasn't so much that they were doing their job or doing their job the wrong way. It's the inconsistency in the enforcement policies by the government. We've got a government that's spending money to build a huge fence and trench and whatever else they've got going across the southern states, but yet we've got policymakers in the White House that are trying to merge the three countries economically. So we have conflicting policies in our government. We don't really know which way our government is going. And the problem also is that we seem to have a government that is not necessarily responsive to the people. And for all practical purposes, it comes down to the point is that government is the problem. It's not these specific issues. It's the fact that these issues occur because we have bad government. And
some would argue, Tim, that we the people are voting these government officials in, so we are at fault for. It's really we the people who are the problem.
Well, that's
because
true.
We are voting these type
Harold
of people
Thomas.
In, we're in the voting people in who have the wrong philosophy.
Right, right. Well, I understand that. And Harold Thomas, in his wonderful essay, "The Myth of the Innocent Civilian," points out that other countries look at America as this one whole unit. And this is why American civilians possibly are targeted or attacked. The idea that this whole concept is that because, if nothing else, by your acquiescence, the government is going forward with policies that are injurious to other people, other places. It really comes down to, and I really think you need at some point to have on the show a good philosophical discussion on the necessity of government. You know, what is government? Why is government? Because at this point in time, our government is a government of coercion, by coercion, for coercion.
Absolutely. Power. Power is the game.
Right. Now, one last thing to just, you know, push this a little bit forward. I don't know if you got a copy, but I was able to get on Strike the Root and put an article on there.
I haven't read it yet, but congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Anybody who wants to read it can go to striketheroot.com, and that's strike and the with strike the root with a hyphen.
Hyphens between strike.
Hyphenated
and
word strike the root. Is it .com or .org still? I don't remember.
I thought it was
Hey, Google
.com,
it. You can figure
wrong.
It out. And yes, Google is a verb now. I don't care what the English majors have to say. And beyond this, I talk about an American shibboleth, the whole concept of where are we going to stand? What is going to be the dividing point? Because really what it comes down to, it is a battle between we the people and this government that we've created and have allowed to just run almost without any control. And it's time to rein it in, if that's possible at all.
It seems to me just as a a practical matter, in order to further our cause for freedom, that we do need to not shift the lines, as you point out, but we need to look at different lines at different times. Right now, the big issue is the war.
Oh yeah,
and so I would say our main focus shouldn't be on maybe a lot of those other issues, such as honest money or whatever, but the war. Let's draw the line on the Bush administration does not go to war unless they have a declaration of war from Congress. They don't go to war to Iran. And if they do, we should be fighting with every ounce of our being for impeachment of this administration.
Well, I would agree. I think impeachment of both the top offices, and even though that might bring Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, into a position of temporary president for the remainder of the term, I would rather see that than those two guys still in a position where they can put life and limb in danger and continue to create hostility against the U.S. throughout the world. And that's the last thing I was going to bring up, you know, is, hey, how about those protests? Huh?
Well, they're getting quite big.
They're getting,
I don't see much coverage of them, though.
Oh, I wonder why. You think, see, this is the other thing. People believe that the major media somehow is still neutral, and it's not. You can very easily watch, if you chart and plot it out, you can see the propaganda line.
They're not a liberal media. They're not a conservative media.
No,
they're not
they're
a neoconservative media.
They're
an establishment media.
Yeah, yeah. Corporate, capitalist, whatever you want to
call it. Capitalist. Don't dirty the word, Tim.
Oh, okay. What do you call it?
Corporate fascist, I would say.
There you go. Exactly. The corporate fascist media, and it exists to maintain the status quo and to continue to encourage government as the answer to all of our problems.
Right.
When actually government is the problem.
Right, because that keeps them in power. It's only government that can keep some of these dinosaurs out there.
Like I said, it's government.
Power.
It's government of coercion, by coercion, for coercion.
Absolutely.
Unto your death. Well, on
Tim,
a happy note, have a great week.
Thanks
great
for your
week.
Call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Mike, hang on. You will be the first right after we take a break.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings, and let's go right back to the phones. And I believe first we have Mike.
Hey,
Mike.
Hey, Ken, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Previous callers are going to be real rough to follow. I think they covered a lot of good information there, and I'm glad to hear them out there. I just wanted to cover what the previous gentleman was talking about, you know, the news media and the blackout coverage.
Yeah.
You know, we got the story of Ed Brown up there in New Hampshire, you know, with the tax case going on, and he decides since, you know, the government's not going to allow him to enter evidence, there's no sense to show up to court to get railroaded, you know,
exactly.
So he just went home.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, the thing is, there's no media coverage of this. I mean, at this point, you'd think there'd be, you know, 24/7 coverage. I mean, a while back, we had that young lady, Natalie Holloway, I think it was. You know, went missing.
What an interesting story. The guy's willing to die for his beliefs there. He's holed up in his house, and the media doesn't seem to be interested. I mean, just from a purely entertainment value, it's really telling, I think, that they are ignoring the story.
Well, from my understanding, he's in daily contact with the local sheriff's department because, you know, he's a, you know, resident of the community and stuff and been there a while. So he's in daily phone contact with the sheriff's office, and he just told him, he says, you know, I'm home, I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. But, you know, if you come through the door with a gun on, well, then we're going to have to discuss that at the point of a gun.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, where's ABC, NBC, CBS? I mean, if this was a school shooting, they would stop the presses, they would put people on planes, fly them down there to get, you know, first-hand footage, and they'd be there until, you know, everything was accounted for and everything was shut down and all the bodies had been counted, and it'd be 24/7. I mean, they'd have breaking news if somebody showed up with a box of donuts for the cops.
Absolutely.
You know, whoa, breaking news, we just had fresh donuts delivered to the police outside the school. I think they got decaffeinated instead of regular coffee, but we'll let you know as soon as we know. Back to you, Bob, in the studio. You know, and it'd be on 24/7, but, you know, like I said, that
goes
back to the news media.
Right. But there's nothing, except for that first day, just a little bit of a blurb, and then that was it. And, of course, very very sparse coverage to begin with.
Right. And also, I'd like to thank you for offering to come out and talk to us on the 24th. I don't know if you had a chance to throw that out or if you were willing to throw that out.
I'm looking forward to it. Why don't you inform the audience what you got going on?
Basically, I'm trying to start a chapter of the Libertarian Party out in DeKalb County. We're setting up a meeting Saturday, February 24th at 12:30. We're going to show America Freedom of Fascism by Aaron Russo. Fred Smart from We the People's Congress is coming out to make a short presentation. Kenneth has offered to come out and do a short speech or thing on it. And then we're going to show the film, take a little question and answers, and you want to find the information on it, it's now posted on the Illinois website for the LP Party. And also you can go to bravenewtheaters.com and get the information on there. But that's Saturday, the 24th of February at 12:30. And the cost is right, free.
Terrific.
So
I'm really looking forward to it, Mike. And that That film, Aaron Russo's from America, Freedom to Fascism, is it's a great film.
And, right now,
one that
there
everybody
were several,
should see.
There were several people who were interested in trying to get a copy. I'm trying to work out, you know, details on having copies available. So if you want to pay cash for a copy, and there will be no record of you ever purchasing it, we'll make sure to wipe your fingerprints off the Federal Reserve notes you give us, and you can come in, and we won't take your picture.
Okay. Mike, thanks for your
thanks
call.
For
I appreciate it. We got to move on here. Okay, this is Freedom Rings, and we will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give, that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Okay, we're back with Freedom Rings. Too late for other callers. Sorry, Tim and Jim. Call next week. This is from Leonard Reed, founder of Foundation for Economic Education, Libertarian Think Tank. Once an individual who would advance liberty has settled on self-perfection as the correct method, the first fact to bear in mind is that ours is not a numbers problem. Were it necessary to bring a majority into the comprehension of the libertarian philosophy, the cause of liberty would be utterly hopeless. Every significant movement in history has been led by one or just a few individuals with a small minority of energetic supporters.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.